Coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
Welcome to Hagman. This is the Hagman Report, where truth can't be silenced. Websites for the truth include HagmanReportLive.com. That's HagmanReportLive.com. There you'll find the video and audio segments for each show, along with the program description, along with HagmanReport.com for print and contributing articles and such. Important information both places, HagmanReportLive.com, HagmanReport.com, and also HagmanStore.com. Folks, HagmanStore.com for some great, delicious, fantastic gourmet coffee. Three kinds, three blends. You've got your Detective's Choice right there. That's shown in K-Cup, as well as whole bean on your screen. Hey, it rhymes, along with the ground bean and K-Cups and whole bean. I got them all through that. You know, the thing. All right. Also, Patriot and Revolution blends, equally delicious. The Detective's Choice is hyper-caffeinated. The others are not, but they are dark roasted and they are smooth. Eric himself picked the beans. All right. A couple of things. Right now, looking at reports that the CIA director, Gina Haspel, is blocking declassification of remaining Russian documents. That's kind of something I was looking at earlier. She's in driver's seat of the CIA, of course, and it looks like she's still kind of working for the deep state. Obviously, the intelligence communities are. By the way, my prediction, you know, you need 270 to win. I think 2020 is going to look a lot like 2016 in terms of electoral wins. Interestingly, and I'm going to leave it here with this, town hall. Associated Press issues new guidance for reporters to cover up the violence of the left. And you remember the iconic picture of Brian Stelter, the cue ball, standing in front of standing on CNN saying, mostly peaceful protests. Meanwhile, buildings are in flames, you know, behind them, right? Well, mobs of violent left-wing lunatics, they've been roaming the streets of America now for months, terrorizing residents, murdering President Trump supporters. That's right. I said murdering and beating Trump supporters. Shooting at, killing, assaulting police officers, assaulting people in their vehicles. But you wouldn't know about this if you merely kept it on CNN or merely kept it even on, well, Fox News a little bit, but not the news portion. You have to go to the editorial portion like Tucker Carlson. You wouldn't know about it. So what the AP did just very quickly was put out a standard. This is what you must, can, or will not say. Folks, I'll put a link to it in the program description box. I have a great show for you lined up today. Steve Quayle, stevequayle.com. Remember, final warning, right? Final warning. Brace for impact. That's coming up mid-October. There it is right there. Video on demand. Now, if you are watching this and haven't signed up for this, do so right now. That's right. I'll wait. Do. Eric, we can talk in the meantime, right? How long does it take? No, it's very quick. Just sign up for video on demand. And with that, you'll get the private intelligence briefings from Steve Quayle every Friday. That's tomorrow. Two more left. That's right. So video on demand plus private intelligence briefings. That's right. And you know, if you've already signed up, do your friends, family members a favor. Tell them about it. Can we see who the speakers are going to be? Can you roll down there? Just a little bit there. Oh, no. It's not on that page. Looks like you're going to have to go to the actual speakers page. There's a lot of great speakers that'll be, a lot of great people that'll be talking. And, including, of course, Steve Quayle. And I'll let Steve talk more about that. With me right now is Steve Quayle from stevequayle.com and qfiles.tv. That's right. qfiles.tv. If you're not a member, you got to do that too. You got to do that too. And Mr. Daniel Holdings, a guy I think a lot of. He's just a tremendous author. Okay, there's the speaker roster. I won't tease you no more. There it is. Steve Quayle, Tom Horn, Gerald Celente, Greg Hunter. I mean, yeah, some heavy hitters, right? And, of course, that handsome dude down there in the lower right. Who's that? It's Daniel Holdings, and he's on with me right now. So, Steve Quayle, Daniel Holdings. Steve, how are you, sir?
Good, Doug. I think it's going to be a very interesting show today because, again, Daniel Holdings, who is the author of Midnight Strikes, Judgment Unleashed, that was released, I think, in March. And I asked Daniel to come on because I think it's one of the most important books out there, not because, you know, I'm in it and stuff like that. But Daniel's been a gifted writer writing about the future a long time ago. So I've asked Daniel to come up with some things that are happening. You know, Doug, it's interesting. The Bible verse I got today coming into my whatever office, studio, whatever this is, is that where the Spirit of the living God is, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And I would challenge anybody and everybody to ask yourself, where's the liberty? We had a Liberty Bell that was cracked, literally. We have the blood-drenched beaches of the world for liberty. But where is the liberty? And I'm going to tell you this. The reason why the bondage is overtaking the land of the free and the home of the brave is because people forgot what it meant to be free, and those who were brave before us were all pretty much like after us. Our generations became exceedingly emasculated, literally, chemically, through xenoestrogens, but also philosophically, and the churches turned into what I would call mausoleums with loudspeakers. Okay, that's what I'm going to call them. So I've asked Daniel to come on, and I'm going to be relatively silent because he's got so much to say, and people need to understand, day by day, words that he's spoken, he's written, that I've spoken, written, broadcasts I've done, you know, now what, 10,000 hours after this year? And I think it's really important. So with no further ado, I'm bringing on to the benefit of your listeners and the, how should I say, waking up of us all, Daniel Holdings, author of Midnight Strikes, Judgment Unleashed.
Well, guys, it's it is always good to be with you. Doug, thanks so much for having me on. And Steve, thanks so much for your invitation to do the show with you. Folks, if there's ever been a time when you need a final warning or an end times warning, it is right now. You mentioned Midnight Strikes, Stephen. It actually came out March 1st. That's when it hit the shelves. And since that time, it is mind-boggling to see how many things in that book have actually come to fruition. Now, audience, you need to understand something. This is not – Steve mentioned that I was the author. This is not me. Steve is somebody that I've interviewed in the book, and it is not him. Although there are many things that both he and I have said in there and I've researched in there. This is not us, folks. You need to understand this. This is God's warning to mankind, Esther 1, for such a time as this. Because, Steve, there are so many things that are going on in the world today. It is stunning to see how quickly things are progressing. And you and Doug have been on the forefront, the leading edge, the tip of the spear of warning God's people about those things that are coming upon the earth. And it is why you are burning the candle at both ends. And I know how hard you've been running these last couple of months, and Doug, you too as well. But folks, there's little time, little more time, I should say, to warm, because the sands are about out of the hourglass. Is that an overreach, Steve?
Well, no, actually, my hourglass that used to be behind me, Daniel, broke. And it broke, and I it was interesting because instantly I had the understanding, it was on Doug's show that I shared. And by the way, there was glass and sand all over my my floor that I'm, you know, sitting on right now. And I felt like the Lord said, Steve, the hourglass is broken. You're on vapor lock. And Doug, you remember that show?
Sorry about that. I had my little trouble with audio. Yeah, I do remember that. And by the way, it didn't just break. It exploded. I'm going to just say that because, you're right. I remember you saying the glass and sand everywhere. So,
yep. Well, again, Daniel, so continue because again, there are no more metaphors. I think take it from right here because there are no more metaphors. We're fixing to come in the end times. We're approaching the end times. Oh, in the days that are to come. It's all here. It's all in our face. Go for it, brother.
Well, you know, there are so many things on your website that you post on a regular basis that I read in the news on a continual basis as well. And one of the things that you asked me to do is to take 10 things out of midnight strikes that have actually happened or are happening. And so what I have done is I've taken some notes, and these are not in order by any means, but audience, as I said, the book only came out March 1st, and again, we take no credit for this. Steve and I both understand that this is the Lord's warning to us, to his people. So please, along with the conference that's coming up October 16th, I think it is, you need to heed this final warning or these final warnings because there, as Steve said, there's no more sand in the hourglass. There's no more time. What is happening now. And that's the thing that we need to understand. So to help you audience to understand those things that are occurring, I'm going to refer back to Midnight Strikes because there are so many things out of that book that are concurrent with the time that we're living in. Now, Steve, the first thing that I want to address is on page 75, and this was actually your doing. One of the things let me backtrack. For those people that haven't heard about Midnight Strikes or you don't know exactly what it's about, what occurred at the end of Steve's work on Jesus, the Premise of the Promise, he had said that that was going to be his last book. He wasn't going to write anymore. But, you know, Steve and I talk often, and one of the things that was happening is that Steve was telling me all these things that the Lord had shown him when he first met him, you know, back, I don't know, 40-some-odd years ago. So one of the things that happened is I said to Steve, I said, Steve, you need to put that in a book. And he said, Daniel, I'm not writing another book. I'm done. I've not been directed to do that. But I thought that these incidents, these warnings were so important. I said, Steve, let me write the book. I will interview you. We'll talk about it. And then I'll use those things that the Lord showed you. Excuse me one second. As a springboard for a further discussion, a more in-depth discussion as far as research and that sort of things go. And so he was up for that. So there are 38 things in that book that the Lord has told Steve or showed him over the years. And as I said, what we did is use that as a discussion to launch into, as a basis to launch into a broader discussion. Now, the first item in that book that I think is absolutely essential, audience, for you to understand the weight of these things in this book is on page 175. On page 175, Steve shared how the Lord had shown him that the Civil War that would be coming to America, now get this, would kick off in Minnesota and Michigan. Now, Doug, listen, you're a newscaster. You're a deep detective researcher type of guy. It seems to me that Steve actually nailed that with regard to Minnesota. Isn't that true?
I'd say so. Yep. Yeah, he did, as a matter of fact. And by the way, that's not all. So it's a lot of stuff in there. But yeah, Minnesota, definitely. And by the way, he also did that prior to Midnight Strikes in his, on his website and even on this program by talking about, the various pockets of immigrants in Minnesota and how the Somalians were gonna, how the black population were gonna be, coalesced into groups. So yes, very, very good. Very well done.
Well, of course, we know that as a result of what occurred with George Floyd in Minnesota, from Minnesota, what we saw, audience, was a brush fire, if you will, wildfire being lit all over the United States. And I live in Kentucky, and most recently, you know, the whole Breonna Taylor thing occurred in Louisville, with the verdict coming down declaring that the cops did what they were supposed to do. And by a black attorney general for the state, I might add, and people in Louisville didn't like it. And we saw riots and continuing riots in Louisville. That's far from where I live. But the point is that Steve nailed it when it came to again. OK, it wasn't Steve. Steve, no offense. It wasn't you.
No, it wasn't. I don't.
How does a guy, you know, how does a man say, okay, civil war in the United States is going to start in Michigan or Minnesota? Now, to be perfectly clear, he was talking in the context of Muslims uprising, but he specifically said in that discussion that started on page 175 that. And he based it. See, Steve is not a dumb guy. He will always lean on the word of God. And one of the things that he did is he talked about how Jesus said that in Matthew 24 that nation would rise up against nation. And Steve, that word for nation is what?
Ethnos, ethnicity, ethnics.
So what does that mean?
Means black and white. It means everybody of color against everybody else. And quite candidly, it's talking about race war. Bottom line, that's what it's talking about. Races will be at war with each other.
That's right. That's right. So the other thing that Jesus said in there is that he said nations will rise up against nations and kingdoms against kingdoms. The thing that we need to understand is the difference between nations, as it says in the Greek, and kingdoms. Kingdoms are a sovereignty. It's a nation state, if you will. Countries, we could call them in our modern vernacular. Now, Steve, there is nothing that's going on like that. Kingdoms against kingdoms right now, right? There's no country states looking to fight one another, is there?
Well, I would say this, just quick and dirty, Daniel, with the people that are adversaries, and Doug, we're seeing people with different allegiances, split allegiances, changing allegiances. You know, people say, well, there have always been rumors of wars, but there have never been the implementation of armies, technology, and areas of flash and clash, which are taken on whether you're in Libya, whether you're in Lebanon, Syria, Afghanistan, Iraq. We're pulling out of Iraq again, and they know it's going to be civil war there. So it is literally kingdom against kingdom. And now we've got all the kings, literally the kings of the earth, especially you, Daniel, this is what's so profound. OPEC and OAPEC, OAPEC means Organization of Whatever Petroleum Exploiting Countries. The thing that's important is every one of those is run by a king. Every one of those is run by a king. Mm-hmm. And that's what's really interesting to me.
Well, you know, what's interesting to me, that's interesting, but what's interesting to me is on page 229 of Midnight Strikes, we actually started this discussion about kingdoms versus kingdoms and how the world had already become splintered and how, you know, we talked about, that is, I did further research on various conflicts throughout the regions of the world, Taiwan, Hong Kong, the South China Sea, dealing with China itself, dealing with Russia. We talked about the Arctic. We talked about the way there were overflights occurring. We talked about Iran. We talked about North Korea. We talked about the possible conflict in Israel, the Ezekiel war that is coming to the world. And you are absolutely right, Steve. What fascinates me on the end of this point that I'm trying to make is that we are now seeing a huge push for peace in the Middle East with Israel by countries that would not normally even, you know, think about peace. Is that prophetic to you?
Well, it is prophetic, because when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them. And I think that's the thing. I guess the word that we need to get across, Doug and Dan, today is suddenly. Suddenly. And it's like a word that has lost its meaning, because look at how fast our constitutional republic was overthrown and is being overthrown. And again, I want to go back to it. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Excuse me, I didn't hear any mention of God. And look, here, I understand the Democrats hate God. I understand they worship Satan. I understand their black magic. I mean, they're into black magic. I understand the Black Lives Matter are conjuring demons, which brings us to the point that right now, I still hear heaven's call. Who will stand up for me? This is God, not me. Who will stand up for me against the workers of iniquity? Doug, you and I know firsthand there's a lot of people that stand up against us, but they won't speak out against iniquity. And sure. there's a problem here, Daniel. There's a disconnect. I do not believe, and maybe you chime in, but what, and because I want you to be the head speaker this morning, of what is the percentage of Christians that you would guess get it? That's my favorite question, okay? And then don't split hairs. I mean, like some people, well, real Christians get, well, listen, the ones who claim to be are the same ones that Jesus rebukes in heaven, saying, depart from me, ye who work lawlessness. I never knew you. Any Christian that is involved in the BLM movement or the social gospel or the liberation theory is an enemy with God, because those are God's words. You see, people get mad at God because he has a right as creator to demand from his creation certain behavior. He says, if you follow my ways, I'll bless you. If you rebel against my ways, I'll curse you. But this is something that you are seeing church after church. You're seeing the denigration of Jesus Christ from the entity in the Vatican, who is an entity. And I want to go on record, Daniel. I think it's in the book, too, but we talked about that Islam would hurt Catholicism. And I said, no one ever said that 25 years ago. Correct, Daniel?
That's absolutely right. And Steve, yes, it is absolutely in the book. In fact, on page 127, we talked about, there was this whole discussion. And I did further research on the things that the Pope said. We talked about the division in the Vatican itself. We talked about, various, stances that the Catholic Church has and the way that they were moving. But we had a very candid discussion about whether or not this Pope was in fact the false prophet. And Steve, do you recall what you told me about him?
Well, yeah. And the bottom line is that, you know, that no one has made war against Jesus, the Bible. No one has kissed the Quran and basically thrown the Bible out. This Pope has. He's talking all roads lead to Rome. And my statement for Tom Horn's book, Daniel, Blood on the Altar, is, yeah, but for the Christians, that meant the Colosseum. And even now, when I said that, this is whatever, 8 months ago, when you interviewed me and you wrote that book, I think what people need to understand, the Bible says in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. Daniel's on record in his fictional stuff. I'm on record in my, reality-based writing. And there was a perfect bringing together for this instant. And I want to make this clear. I made it clear to Daniel, and I want everybody to understand it. I went over and over and overboard to say, I'm not doing any more writing. I'm not. We're out of time. We're out of time. I'm finishing up two films that got waylaid, due to a lot of problems, and I won't even go there. But the bottom line is that now we're in motion, brother. We're in motion. The Pope, getting back to him. I don't think people understand this, but the Pope and also some of the apparitions that they're claiming as some of their spiritual leaders are claiming, when you've got the visions of Fatima, or that took place in Fatima, and then you've got basically Fatima, Mohammed's daughter, I saw 25 years ago how that would be a perfect match. And guess what? The Muslim integration to Catholicism provides a perfect blood-stained road to the destruction of real Christians, okay? To those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because this Pope basically said, hey, believe what you want to believe. It doesn't matter because we're all going to get there anyway. Of course, he doesn't. He's not consistent. So go ahead and take it from there, Daniel.
It's funny that you, and I'm not laughing because it's hilarious. I'm laughing because it's ironic. Again, on page 139, Steve, we talked about how Christians, in fact, this was something specifically that the Lord told you whenever, how many years ago was that? How many years ago did it appear to you the first time?
Well, it was, 49 years ago.
49 years ago. So this is what he showed you 49 years ago, that Christians will go underground and denominations will give the mark of the beast. And we're going to get to COVID in 1 second. But you've already called it. So how is it that this church, the church, right, that we're supposed to be, could actually fall for the mark of the beast? Well, it's because what we are seeing in the pulpits of America is not the church. It's a false Jesus, as talked about in 2 Corinthians 11:4. And Paul was talking about, if someone will come to you and preach another Jesus, don't listen to him. Steve, are churches preaching another Jesus these days?
Well, they won't even mention the name of Jesus, because in the world of the occult, Jesus is always given another name, usually something like the Nazarene or even the Demiurge, Demiurge. They cannot pronounce the name of Jesus, because remember what the scripture says, brothers and sisters, those of you who love Jesus and are redeemed by his blood, that every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Now, I believe a lot of the confusion is this. I have no problem with a Hebrew or a Jewish person who has met Jesus, the Messiah, using Yeshua. But confusion comes into the church, and I see confusion. And again, it's like death reckoning. It's like, forgive me, resurrected reckoning. The confusion, everybody will fight over everything. And again, the people thought that friendship with the world would be a way to win them. What was it called? Seeker-friendly.
Seeker-friendly, that's right. Seeker-friendly.
And then the biggest detriment, in my opinion, was when what's-his-name wrote A Purpose-Driven Church. Okay?
Yeah, from, what was it?
I can't even remember the guy's name. And here's a great statement by one of the greatest, in my opinion, preachers ever lived. Of course, he would be of the old school and an old Scotsman, Campbell McAlpine. But he said, lad, never forget, the true shepherd leads, but the butcher always drives. And people ask me, no, that's true, Doug. I heard that sermon almost, 1974, 75. I got saved in 72.
Can you say that again? If you don't mind.
Go ahead.
No, say that again, Steve, what you just said.
Yeah, okay. One of the most powerful sermons, and I'll just repeat it. And he said it in a Scottish brogue. Probably mine's not that good, but he said, lad, never forget, the good shepherd always leaves, but the butcher drives. He drives his flock to the basic slaughterhouse, okay?
Gotcha.
If you think about that, that's exactly what's happening. You've got the purpose-driven church. I said right over it, Rick Warren. The purpose-driven church right over a cliff. From there, I can actually, not me, but Daniel, that'd be a great thing, a purpose-driven church revisited. It went over the cliff. Then the denigration of Jesus, because of Jesus' unique claims as the Son of God, the only begotten of the Father. No man comes unto the Father except by Jesus, yet you've got the entity. And I want to go on record, what speaks out of the entity known as this Pope, the Catholics who won't even accept him, call him the anti-Pope, is literally an incarnation of some prince of hell. Now, I'm not Catholic bashing, but listen, you cannot mock the Word of God. You cannot mock the virgin birth and say that you worship the Virgin Mary. You cannot do what this guy has done. Plus the fact he's a Jesuit. Now, a lot of people don't understand that the Jesuits, the Society of Jesus, is a separate division from normal and you got a white pope, you got a black pope. Gee, how can it get any more, pun intended, black or white than that? Go ahead, Daniel. You studied it. I want you to do most of the talking.
It's, interesting enough, getting back to something you said, and you know that I'm a big Greek and Hebrew guy, because when we read the English, it's a translation, or actually a transliteration in Correct. The Bible. So I always like getting back to the flavor, to the true meaning of the word. So I always ask people this, well, you know, they'll talk about the name of Jesus. You know, there are people that are only King James only people, right? Only King James, right? Oh, wait a minute. The Bible wasn't written in King James. It was written in Hebrew and Greek. So what does Jesus's mama call him? What does mother call him? What did Mary call him? She called him Yeshua. Okay. Yeshua. That was his name. That's what his friends called him. That's what everybody knew him as. But at the same time, right? What we need to understand is that just as there is a spirit of Antichrist, there is the Holy Spirit that lives inside of God's people. And God knows who his people are, no matter what name you call him. So the point is that when people stand before him, when we go to the white throne judgment, and Steve, you referenced this verse, and I love it. It says, you know, that he will say to people that look them dead in the eye, and they'll say, well, I preached in your name, or I gave to the poor in your name, or I healed in your name, or whatever the case may be. He'll say, depart from me, because I never knew you. Because here's the thing, folks. We can, especially right now, right, we can fall into this idea that if we go to church and check a box, or if we're religious in some way, that we're hooked into God. It's not the case, right? Our salvation is based upon relationship, right? You cannot bear the name of Jesus or Yeshua or whatever you're calling him and not have a deep abiding relationship. And it's also that relationship that will see us through these days and the days that we are walking into. It is not your religion, and the false Jesus that is being preached in many of the pulpits today, including what is that? Saddleback Church. That's the name of that church. Including Saddleback Church, Rick Warren's church. Is this idea that somehow he's our sugar daddy, that he will give us everything we want and we can live however we want. That's not the case. If we are his, Paul talked about being a slave to the Lord, right? That he was a slave to him, right? I don't want anything else but what Paul had. Here's the point, that when we look at the world today, what you see is a church filled with compromise. And is it any wonder that we are struggling to find our footing in these end days? Steve, on page 110, you talked about how persecution was coming to American Christians. And we went into a broader discussion to talk about all the soft ways that there is soft persecution right now against churches. You can't go on YouTube and use the name of Jesus. You can't go on Facebook and talk about these kind of things. You'll get cut from Google if you talk about such things. And on top of that, you have COVID shutting down various churches where Walmart and the bars stay open. So what we are seeing is, in fact, persecution against the church. Now, how can that be, Steve? How can that be in a day and age when we supposedly live in a Christian country?
Well, it's the spirit of Antichrist that rules the land. We become a habitation of demons and every unclean bird. And for the record, you know, I was screaming with, and Doug, thank you for the podium all those years ago, when the Egyptian gods came into this land, the Anubis statue, when the Mayan skulls came into this land, when the mosques came into this land, it was the breaking of thou shalt have no other gods before me. You remember when even Islam was praying on their prayer rugs, believers in Islam, they were claiming this land for them. One of the things that I didn't miss, and I don't think so, I think it'll only be, actually, it's already being demonstrated on page 175, is I thought the Muslims would rise up. If you remember the Black Panthers, one of the strongest and outspoken, I'd say whatever, cadre or units of those guys said that they're pledging their allegiance to ISIS. So that is yet to come out. And forgive me. So here's the thing, ladies and gentlemen. Anything that denies Jesus as Lord is the spirit of Antichrist. Now, that's really tough because that applies to the guy in Rome, okay? That applies to him. So, Daniel, given the acceleration of the assault on Jesus, the insult on Jesus, anybody who's a Democrat and claims to be a Christian and you vote for the anti-life pattern, you vote for abortion, you vote for the platform that said we hate God, how do you think you're going to fare on Judgment Day? And the Lord said, who is on the Lord's side? Well, I'm on the Lord's side. The point is Jesus on your side? See, that's the equation. Mm. People assume from our perspective that we have the right relationship with God. The question is, what is it from God's perspective? You know, as I get older, and obviously I want to go on record, I do not age gracefully. Boy, do I not age gracefully. But the point is that I understand my number one, it is a cry of the heart. God, let me see from your perspective. Lord, I'm not going to argue. I learned my lesson the first time I read Job, and people might find this funny because I had such an early non-understanding of scripture. I tore Job out of my first Bible. I said, that's not fair to that guy, you know? Well, obviously, with knowledge comes wisdom. With wisdom, you know, God showed me what that was all about. When I came to understand it, I went and bought a new Bible with Job in it. Now, that's a true story because, again, I couldn't understand it. So, Daniel, where we're at now, midnight has struck, in my opinion. Judgment is unleashed. And what's happening is people are going to lose their focus, their bearing, and whatever equilibrium. And I'll define equilibrium, that which has given us all comfort to hold on to whatever worldview, whatever religious view, whatever we know as normal. And you know it. You heard me say it at Branson. Everything we've known as normal will never be again. The word normal will pass away. I watched that, my exact words. And not that others can't use it, but I watched my exact phraseology show up in article after article after article. And I know, Doug, you know who listens to us, okay? That's not, and they're terrified. They're terrified of me. I'm called a loose cannon. And I said, well, I may be a loose cannon, but guess what, guys? I know where to put the sights on my cannon. Well, we couldn't have you on, Steve, because our higher-ups would just, they'd go nuts. I said, that's every other reason to have me on. But anyway, the bottom line is, and I'm not seeking to get on any, as a matter of fact, I've turned down so many, Doug, invitations, especially from the British Septic Press. I turned down a lot of stuff. I turned down a lot of radio interviews. And I've said it, and Tom Horn said it too. The only guys that Tom and I are both on record as saying, and you've heard it said too, Daniel, that the only guy we want to really be interviewed by is Doug. Because of Doug's heart, and that's not flattery, Doug. That just is, I know where the platform is anointed. And, the point is that anointing just means this. Jesus said the Holy Spirit is going to lift up him. And we get to lift him up here. So, Daniel, let's continue on with some of the most prescient. Okay, you look at the world events. You look at them. You're on my website. Others, you're on them probably 18 hours a day versus my 22 or whatever. But the bottom line is, or whatever it is, I'm just kidding. What are the things that are just, I'm saying this again, I'll give you another Campbell McAlpine statement. Son, he said, never speak a word that doesn't burn in your heart. Because if the fire of God is not in your heart, I think he said, your heart, It won't come out your mouth. Tell me what burns in your heart.
Well, you know, it's funny, Steve, because many of the things, although you and I have partnered on Midnight Strikes, many of the things that the Lord has shown me or that I heard from him are in my fictional books. And those books are, you know, the oldest one's 10 years old or something like that. You talked about, well, we'll get to some of that. But one of the things you talked about is on page 199, we started this whole discussion on the world falling into rage and madness. And you were talking about how the world has just lost their minds right now. And I outlined the various protests that were going on around the world and how people just didn't make sense. And you have, as you mentioned, the Democratic Party. And you know, I'm apolitical, but you have a Democratic Party that has really lost their minds. I mean, it's just insane to see some of the things that they think and they believe. They actually believe that if socialism or Marxism, I should be more clear, comes to the United States, that we will be better off. And that somehow, if we don't like it, we can get rid of it. If that isn't insane, I don't know how to define it. We have lost all of our ability, audience, to critically think through the issues and to understand the weight of the things that are happening in the world today. And because we're emotion driven or we're driven by these fallacies, these utopian ideas, we end up with this society, this world that's in turmoil. So, Steve, as we were doing Midnight Strikes, as we were putting it together, and it took almost a year, one of the things that really stood out to me is how quickly, even back then when we were putting it together, the world was falling apart. And Midnight Strikes has only come out, as we said, in March 1st. So when you look at the world today, where do we go from here? I mean, it's already messed up. I mean, how bad can it get? I saw something on your website. You mentioned your website. I saw something on your website that's today that said that it's way worse than what we think it's going to be.
That's the purpose of tonight's – well, forgive me. Tonight is Thursday. I'm a day behind. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm always a day behind, but on Friday, Friday's – private briefing for people that sign up for video on demand. I'm gonna share stuff, Daniel, and you know the weight of what I'm saying, and I think you do too, Doug. It took my breath away with the evil that has just been made known on what is going to happen, who is going to be deputized. The I mean, it truly is phenomenal, and ladies and gentlemen. I think that people have got to understand something. I don't grandstand. I am under the impression that we have so little time left that the name Final Warning, Brace for Impact, was based on the fact of the when the warnings are through, it means all events are in play. And I prayed about this. I said, Lord, I thought it was over, you know, years ago, and I really did. And he told me something. He says, Steve, that's because you live in the future, because I revealed the future to you. He gave me a vision when I saw him face to face. I fell at his feet as death. That's a biblical event. People challenge it tough. If you knew what I was before I fell at his feet as dead, you'd go, man, that guy got saved. The bottom line is this. What's coming ahead, I lack words for, Doug. What's coming ahead... And when we, you know, obviously do the, what's it called, the private briefing tomorrow. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, there's only two left, tomorrow being one and the following Friday, because we're 15 days away from showtime.
Yeah.
So the thing I want people to understand is this. Over the years, I've had to gauge what I say when I say. I got ahead of the Lord a couple times, and then I was labeled a false prophet. Never once on talk radio have I claimed to be a prophet. I've been mocked and ridiculed because, again, God said to me when I saw him face to face, I'm giving you a Joseph's ministry. I didn't know who Joseph was. Didn't know if it was a guy down the street. I didn't know anything about a Joseph's ministry. And he told me that I'm going to show these things to you, and I'm going to hide them or take them from you until they shortly come to pass. understand, ladies and gentlemen, I was the most non-religious, hedonistic, know nothing about Christianity. I was absolutely raised a wild child on the streets, not proud of it, but that's how I was. The bottom line is that, you know, I learned to party at 12. That's a pretty young age, but when you live in Southern California at 12, that's now old. But I'm not, I'm only saying this, Daniel, to answer your question, and Doug, to answer the question. What I'll be sharing tonight is courtesy of God's grace to bring his people up to the lateness of the hour. So when we use the term midnight strikes, judgment unleashed, can anybody deny what's happened on the West Coast with the fires? I'm talking not only the forest fires, which, by the way, I believe that's total great terror. I believe it's being orchestrated. I believe it's being done intentionally. Absolutely. And then, you know, what's going to take place? Look at the cities burning, death in the cities. Also, look what's happening to New York City. New York City's not so pretty. And I told people, you want to see what I see for the history of New York or the future of New York? Go watch Escape from New York. So, Daniel, here's the thing. It will need a contemporary context. I hope I'm saying this clearly, Doug. You're a much clearer thinker than I am. That's not flattery. It's true. It will take the context of the coming events over the next 2 weeks to make a lot of what we're talking about today, especially on the conference, even believable. Most people would not believe that Seattle, that Portland would be burning, that Minneapolis, that Indiana, that Kentucky, was it Louisville? So most people wouldn't believe that. Most people wouldn't believe that you'd wipe out 166,000 businesses over a 6-month period because of a plandemic, a scandemic, and a initial biological weapon released from China. So when Trump says it's a Chinese virus, he's telling the truth. Go ahead, Daniel.
Perfect cue, Steve, because one of the things I wanted to address right now is on page 235 in Midnight Strikes, we talked about this. Now, understand, audience, that Midnight Strikes took, as I said, almost a year to put together. Steve and I had several conversations over, this year period, 10 months, 12 months, and there was no mention of COVID-19 or anything like that. And yet, in Midnight Strikes, and Steve has always said that he's not a prophet, never been called a prophet, never been claimed to be a prophet. But audience, when we read in the Word, we see that prophecy is one of those gifts of the Spirit, right? So you can be prophetic in the things that the Lord shows you without being in the office of a prophet. And this is how Steve actually has managed to nail so many things that he does. This is why we need to understand it's not him, it's not Daniel, it's God. It's the Holy Spirit telling us what's going to happen. And on page 235 of Midnight Strikes, we talked about, specifically the Lord told you, Steve, that bioweapons would be released on the world. And that actually brought it into this whole discussion of something that had started occurring a few months before. We had no idea what it was. It really didn't even have a name, but now we know it as COVID-19. Now, I have a lot of thoughts about COVID-19, as I'm sure you do as well, but the point is that was a weapons release true to what the Lord showed you all those years ago. Isn't that right?
Absolutely. And again, you know, this is something that people need to understand. When I wrote the book, Genetic Armageddon, Today's Technology, Tomorrow's Monsters, I dealt with it there. I then dealt later with it in Breathe No Evil, a primer for understanding biological and chemical warfare. And by the way, Daniel, on the back of that book, what's out of print, now remember this is, I'm talking 20 years ago. Well, here it is. I've got a copy. I've got one copy and I won't sell it. Man, when I see what these books go for on Amazon, it blows my mind. But anyway, I was talking about right here, and most people, Novichok is what they're claiming. They tried to poison, what's that guy's name, Navalny, the Putin's. Right. And here's what I said. I want to share something with this. This book was first printed 20 years ago. I think I had to reprint it in 2001. Well, that's about 19 years ago. And what was interesting is here's what I said about Novichok. And Novichok means newcomer in Russian. And again, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to see this. God has been consistent with me in giving me people that know that what's going on. I don't know this stuff. I hang out in Montana. If I had my way, I would have never come on the internet. This is true. Outside of a radio voice, and I hung out for a long time without my face ever being seen. But it says this, okay? It says chemical and biological weapons of mass destruction are now in the hands of terrorist arsenals around the world. You are in severe jeopardy if you don't understand the ramifications of the new emerging viruses and the molecular engineered biological weapons that are so readily available to terrorists in the world today. Coupled with this threat are the new Novichok series of chemical weapons that the Soviets have designed. As little as 500 pounds can kill 500,000 people. Can you read the handwriting on the wall? So, by the way, this got me in trouble on, I don't know how many continents. I can't even go to any place that's British because of this, because they claim me to be an extremist. And I think, I mean, and look, it says here, it says understanding tactical and chemical terrorism. It doesn't tell you how to do this stuff. It says this is what we're going to be dealing with. 2 weeks before the subway attack in Tokyo with sarin nerve gas, I said in 2 weeks there's going to be a major attack on a major city. Didn't know it was Tokyo. I want you to know. Didn't know what specific nerve. And how did I know that? Only God. Nobody else said that. 2 weeks? Bingo. That changed the history of biological and chemical warfare forever. Go ahead, sir.
Well, Steve, you are an extremist. You are extremely in love with Jesus, right? You are extremely obedient to Jesus, even to your own detriment, and all of us could take a lesson from you. You know, getting back to the whole COVID-19, this is a really important point. One of the things we talked about on page 12, as a matter of fact, the first thing that we talked about is how this is something that the Lord showed you, how the Chinese social credit system would be coming to the United States. Now, audience, I gotta admit, you know, I hear Steve make a statement like that, I'm going, how can that be? You know, we're not China. This is a free country. And so I started doing some digging. And what I found, interestingly enough, is all the technological mechanisms to bring the social credit system of China to the United States are already in place. And I outline them, and it would behoove you to actually read those, the things that are there, that are here, that are laying entrapment for all of America to fall into the system. In fact, it is already being entrusted on us. And now, interestingly enough, to couple this other part of the discussion that we were having on COVID-19, COVID-19 is being used to implement that system. Here's what I mean. There's a guy, I don't know, you might have heard of him before. He's got a little bit of money. He's been around for a little while, technologically savvy, that kind of thing. His name is, Bill Gates, right? Bill Gates has been talking about an immunity pass an app that you put on your phone, and this will let people know if you're infected or if you've been around infected people. It's what do they call it? Help me out here, Doug. It's called tracing or COVID tracing. Tracing. So they're using technology in order to do that. Folks, that is exactly what China does with their own people. That is what they did when COVID-19 first broke out in China. And it is exactly how they kept track of people in China before COVID-19. So in fact, Steve was absolutely right. They are bringing the Chinese social credit system to the United States. And we talked about it, Steve, on page 12.
You know, actually, I just want to punch in here. They're using that as a supposed legitimate predicate for surveillance and for the credit score that's in the book. So yes, you're exactly right. And you know, when you look back, and you said it earlier, when you look back at the time it took to compile the book and write the book, much of this, the phrase contact tracing wasn't even in the lexicon. It just didn't exist. at least in terms of how it's being used today. So all of this, as you pointed out, I'll tell you what, if you flip to the back of the book, and I'd left my copy in my office, and I apologize, but, you know, I was looking at the back of the book. Steve, I mean, from Earth Changes. I mean, you tick off and Daniel Holdings, you write the categories from Earth Changes to World War III. I mean, look where we are there. You know,
don't steal my thunder, Doug. Don't steal my thunder.
I'm not going to do it, but you know, all the way down to American Civil War 2.0. So I'll shut up now, but man, it is. However, I'll say this. When you look at the final warning, you know, Brace for Impact conference, I'm thinking, and all of the speakers, I look back at my records here, my show records, and I'm thinking to myself, it's everything everybody said. And we were mocked for it. I mean, Daniel Holdings was on, as Gerald Celeni, everyone, Steve Quipp, Dave Hodges. And now it's here. Go ahead.
Well, you know, here's the thing, Steve. We are not that smart, right? Doug, we're not that smart.
No,
right?
Amen.
Those things that we've talked about, the things that you've talked about for the last 40 years, the things that I've talked about for the last 10, 12 years, we're not that smart. I don't know how long you've been on, Doug, but all the things that you've talked about over the years, we're just audience. We're not that smart. Now, how is it that all of these things that have been talked about throughout the years are now coming to fruition? Again, we're talking about the lateness of the hour. Now, the only way that you can understand where people called Steve Quayle a fear porn star, right, that he was trying to scare the living wits out of people and he just wanted to sell books, and Doug Hagman was crazy and some offbeat detective that just wanted to make a name for himself. When they were saying that, well, it's easier for me because I started out with fiction, right? It was just fiction. I could just talk about fiction. But when they were talking about how conspiratorial-minded I was, folks, we're just not that smart. The only explanation that you can give to the accuracy and the absolute repetitiveness of the warnings over the years is the fact that God himself, through his Holy Spirit, wanted to warn us. And now that time is here. This is midnight striking. This is a final warning. And I don't know how long, Steve, a final warning can last. Maybe it's, you know, a couple days after the October 16th conference, or maybe it's weeks, or maybe it's months, or even if it's years. What is years to the Lord? What is years in the aspect of eternity, right? Audience, you have to hear what I'm saying. This is not coincidence. We are not that smart. We didn't end up going out and saying we're going to put all this information together on Doug Hagman's show throughout all the years that Doug Hagman has been on the air, and it would make this narrative that we would begin to understand is actually coming true. Steve, we're not that smart, are we?
No, and I want to share something. Here's the thing. God, and this is his word, his gifts and callings are without repentance. But I want to share something. I want to bring it right down to the Biden interview. Bob Griswold called me while we were on the air, and I tried to mute and take his call. But he said one of his Green Beret friends, Bob's referred to him before, I don't know his name, I wouldn't give it if I knew it, said, did you catch what Biden said on his gaffe, some people call it? I always trained that G-A-F-F-E was called a gaffe, but that's neither here nor there.
Folks, pay attention to this. Go ahead.
Yeah, but he talked about, Biden spoke about 200 million Americans dying. I don't know if many of you caught that. Bob said, Steve, that's where your Deagle number's coming from. The Deagle report is put together by three guys who are above even the directors of the CIA, NSA, I believe the NRO, National Reconnaissance Office, which, by the way, is really, really top secret. But the interesting thing was and is that the people who are the adepts, the people that are initiated in the world, they know the plan, ladies and gentlemen. And the plan is to take the population of America down to 100 million. I hope, and I didn't catch that. I thought, guy's just an idiot. He's senile. In other words, I won't share on the podcast. But the deal is that Biden used the term 200 million. Bob's Green Beret friend, God bless you, whoever you are, basically said, there's where their numbers are coming from. And Bob just wanted us to know that. Maybe he told you that. But I think it's critical. Because what that means, okay, look at your own immediate family. That means one out of three, if you got three, two out of six. That's how they want to take your family down. The stuff I'm going to talk about private briefings tomorrow night is truly heartbreaking. And Daniel, this is, I think, the really important thing. Only God can give us the grace to go through what has never been in history, never will be again. There's never been a time like it. And except the days be short for the elect's sake, that's us, there'd be no flesh left alive. Deal with that now, because let's say 5 years ago, Doug, you didn't believe we'd be at the point where we are now, okay? Or Daniel, maybe you didn't think we'd be here for another couple years. So both of you answer, and please, I'm not trying to be the interviewer, but it's really critical people hear other viewpoints, but look at where we're at now. And look at the division in the land. Remember, the president of the United States, they had the biggest military coup against him, military/intelligence coup against him. Remember, ladies and gentlemen, you had a director who was a communist, Brennan. You had others, Comey, who was absolutely spearheading this. And then you have the Hildebeest, okay, Hillary Clinton, a cosmic morphing of, I would say this, the Jezebelian spirit from multiple universes, it measured in a star years, okay? A star year is a long time. That's just to begin to start. But so what's important is this. In my opinion, I'm apolitical too. Most people think I'm just dying hard Republican. I'm not. I want people to understand this, that even when we're talking about the social credit system, that's what Kamala Harris is referring to. They have long memories, and I don't have the quote, Doug, maybe you do, but they're going to take us out. Then you've got that moron, in my opinion, at Twitter saying all of us should be put up against the wall and shot us. That's a terrorist threat. Where in this universe is there a lawyer with balls to take that on? That is a direct terrorist threat against the president. So let me ask you, ladies and gentlemen, if you are sitting with a moron with an earpiece wired, knowing that that guy took part in the intentional overthrow or attempted overthrow of you, committed every act of treason, was on others' payrolls, that's out today, and, you know, Burisma, etc., you know, would you be a little torqued too? Torqued is the nice way of saying angry, okay? So the thing is that I understand him. I do not, and by the way, I'm on record as saying God will not allow China and Russia to destroy us. When I said that, they weren't even on our case. Maybe secretly, but they were covertly in those days. Now they're overtly in these days. You've got leaders saying they're going to kill each other. You've got basically the Ayatollah Always Amini saying to Donald Trump, I'm going to kill you. We're going to kill you. Even as late as last week, he was supposed to be killed. The public doesn't know all the threats against that guy. Talk about God using him as a lightning strike. And I like what Dobson said. I want to reiterate what Dobson said. You're voting for a platform. He is in favor of protecting Christians. He's in favor of protecting the unborn. Those are right in the sight of the Lord. You really mean to tell me that you'll hold him to a different moral standard than you'll, how about JFK and his exploits, okay? How about all of the things attributed to Obama's weirdness, you know? How about all of the strange people doing strange thing with strange its? No offense, Matt, I just don't know what they want to be called anymore. And then we're being told that our president is unhinged. Here is the thing, Doug. From the beginning, the Democrats have controlled the narrative. And, Daniel, what we're trying to do is be the narrative, Satanicus narrative, Satan's narrative, we're trying to give people God's viewpoint, which is demonstrated in his word, and which prompted you to write final warning, you know, I'm sorry, midnight strikes. I'm getting my final midnight strikes, judgment unleashed, and which caused me to have the, you know, look at the, I love this cover. Look at the cover of it. You've got stuff happening. You've got earthquakes. You've got asteroids. You've got the moon turning to blood. I mean, this is an amazing cover. And this book is worth the cover. You can judge this book by the cover. But, you know, again, on the private briefing, I'm going to turn it right back to you. I'm going to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, how our lives are going to change after this election, with or without Donald Trump, whoever is president. Every, now I want to say something. Every means every. Nothing will be left of the social credit and what I call track us, whack us, and stack us if we don't toe the party line. Go ahead, Daniel.
Well, you know, you said something, and I actually refer to this in my portion of the final briefing. You like to say, or you have on record of saying, that there is no political solution for a country that has a spiritual problem. And I love that, because that is so succinct, this thinking that we can fix things by politically, by voting, by marching, by – no. You also are on record as saying – it shouldn't be make America great again. It should be make America repent again.
Amen.
So here's the point. Do I love this country? I absolutely love this country. Many of you know that I'm a veteran. I have served for a long time in the Air Force. And I have went to bat for the United States again and again. But when a country has lost its soul, when a country has went down the road of idols and sin, then, folks, God will call us back as he does in Jeremiah. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and repent from their wicked ways, I will come and heal their land. Steve, what we have in the land is not repentance. What we have in the land is rebellion. Do I want the Democrats to win? Heck no. And I'm being nice. I was going to say something else. However, my grave concern is that this country has lost its soul. When we talk about the remnant, when we talk about people, God's people who are few and far between, that adhere to his word and walk in his ways and humble themselves before the Lord, There are so many reasons why God would not heal our land. Now, one of the interesting things, now, is there any precedence for this? One of the things that you have pointed out to me in the past is that there were times when Henry Groover, and you know, audience, that Henry Groover was a prayer walker, and he would go into various countries around the world, and he would pray for those countries to come back to the Lord or to be delivered. And there were several times, Steve, when Henry would go to a particular place, and the Holy Spirit said, "Do not pray, don't ask me to save this place, or don't ask me to have these people repent." Is that right?
Absolutely. Los Angeles is one of them. And, you know, I tell people the city of angels is true. Unfortunately, they're the fallen angels. And, you know, and believe, too, he wasn't allowed to walk in. I know he wasn't allowed to walk in some areas, not necessarily Washington State, but Seattle. And I believe he was not allowed to. And I only dug this out of him. Henry was such a blessing and such a gentleman that he didn't even want it construed out there that, you know, that judgment was imminent. But I can tell you this, he couldn't walk in San Francisco. He couldn't walk in, I believe, Portland. He couldn't walk in Seattle. And interestingly enough, there were 10 cities. And, you know, I was fortunate because I knew to get him record him on video before, video, DVD, whatever it is, digital medium, I'm an old guy. I still think in photo terms, to get him on for posterity. And what's interesting to me is that Henry would say, Steve, when the people that hate you would call me and say, don't hang out with that guy, he's not a good guy to hang out with, Henry would shut him down. Believe it or not, some evil speakers in the West Coast would do everything they could to undermine Henry too. So the thing, and I'm not in his category, I'm not putting myself, but I can tell you this. He was a dear friend of mine for probably, I don't know, at least 25, 30 years. And he stayed in my home. We had talks. We talked and talked and talked. He prayed for me and prayed for me and prayed for me. And ladies and gentlemen, I just want to share something. Every one of you who's ever prayed for me once, and pray for Daniel Holdings. He's one of the key speakers at our conference, Brace for Impact. I think you're going to love the presentation he gives. He went the extra mile. But you're talking about someone whose passion in Daniel Holdings for Jesus is his motivation. And when we're talking about this, look, here's the deal. You get to the point where you understand how late it is in the hour, and you better be concerned as a Christian, Lord, what do you want me to do differently? If you, and I want to share something. Boy, I don't know if I can even remember how to frame it exactly. Oh, I know how to frame it exactly. I saw, if you will, the words of Jesus saying, when you enter into a town, if they don't hear you, shake the dust off their feet, okay? It means go on, continue on. Some of you are getting sidetracked by your family who is opposed to the Lord Jesus Christ, who doesn't care about the Lord Jesus Christ. You're the, if you will, the major issue in your family. And William, this applies to you. And you quoted my word back to me, dud, dumb unto death. The thing we can do is pray. We leave them in the hands of the Lord, but we go on. Too many of us, Daniel and Doug, we're landlocked and our mouths are shut because all we hear is the unbelieving children, the unbelieving spouse, the unbelieving brothers, sisters, whatever, always knocking Jesus and making you seem to be the dumb one. Believe it or not, they'll be the first come knocking when they don't have any food. And I think it's important that people understand this is the message. If someone said, what's your last message for the last days? America is under a judgment as forsaken the fountains of living water, the living God, and have hewn themselves out cisterns that can hold no water. Hmm. Repent. Repent. Hmm. I speak those words to myself in the mirror. I said, Steve, that attitude's wrong. You need to repent. And I repent. I'm trying to walk in a realm that I've never walked in before because the times are times we've never lived in before. So the goal of this program and everything else that I'm doing from this point on, for as long as God gives me grace, is to introduce you to the supernatural power and presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's not one of us can stand in the days ahead without the power of God. Go ahead, Daniel.
Well, when we understand what these days are like, when we understand what they will entail, that should be enough to make us repent. And this is the reason why I believe that the Lord has given us, given me Midnight Strikes and had me interview you for that book, and also given us a final warning, the Brace for Impact, because one of the things that people need to understand, and I come on here and I'm animated and I, folks, if I told you that I didn't like what I do, I would be lying to you. I love being able to tell people what the Lord has, said to me and given to us, what he has shown, not only myself, but other people as well. And, I get animated and I get excited. It does not mean that these things are not weighty and they're not serious. On the contrary, the things that we are talking about are absolutely, let me use it these words. They are absolutely dead serious. And I mean that, dead serious. We have to understand that in the very near future, people will be dying. You referenced the numbers of the Deagle Report. That's also in Midnight Strikes. I forget the page number, but that's also in Midnight Strikes, and I talk about this extensively. One of the things that I came across when I first started writing, I think it was in my first book all those years ago, is what's a monument in on the East Coast, the American Stonehenge. I forget what it's called.
Georgia Guidestones.
Georgia Guidestones. At the top of the list, the very first commandment on the Georgia Guidestones is to reduce the population of the earth to 500,000 people. Steve, 500,000 people.
500 million. Hey, Daniel? 500 million.
Oh, I'm sorry. 500 million. Yeah. 500 million people. There are nearly 7 billion people on the planet, folks. When you understand that the devil comes to kill, steal, and destroy, it is his goal to do a whole lot of killing. Now, there is only one. There is one, I got to be honest, and that on the Georgia Guidestones was translated, I think, into 4 different languages on 4 different faces of the Guidestone. There's these 10 commandments, and they are very, very scary, these commandments. But the one commandment that I actually liked was to limit the number of politicians, Steve. I actually liked that idea.
Yeah, the one they didn't put on, that was the 11th one.
But when we talk about judgment on the United States, all you have to do is to look what we are seeing in our cities. Now, you mentioned New York and what was going to happen to New York. But before I go there, let me digress for a second. You mentioned how the Lord wouldn't let Henry Groover pray over 10 different cities. Now, that reminds me about what Dmitri Duderman saw with regard to the judgment in on the United States. San Francisco, Henry Saul God wouldn't let him pray over San Francisco. Dmitri saw San Francisco, and he saw nuclear bombs rain down on San Francisco. I believe Seattle was another one. Los Angeles was another one. Now, what's interesting is these places, and it's not just California, it's other places in the United States, but these places the angel told him that he was with, that those places were Sodom and Gomorrah. Now think about the weight of what those words are. Sodom and Gomorrah. New York was another one of those places. Now, it's interesting when you look at what's going on with New York, and I know that a lot of this conversation is bleeding together, but it's really important because oftentimes this is what happens with prophecy. They begin to blend together. It's not just one thing, not my prophecy, prophecies of other people is what I'm talking about, but they blend together into this mosaic and they begin to build this picture that will give us a clear sight as to what's going on. When you look at what's going on in New York, what you see, Steve, I was stunned. I saw a video a few weeks ago with this whole COVID disaster. This person was going down Fifth Avenue, one of the most wealthy streets in all of America. Everything was boarded up. This was after the riots that occurred in that area as well. Things were burnt out. They were boarded up. It was stunning to see the quietness. And you're right. It looks exactly like the movie Escape to New York. I mean, exactly like it.
Well, I think, too, Doug, that, you know, you're an East Coast guy. You used to work the city, meaning New York City. What most people don't understand, and this is something they need to hear on this broadcast day, the financial district, they had a duplicate across the river in New Jersey. Quietly, they're moving out of New Jersey. And these are the people that run the economy. They already had only a show position in, on the exchange and stuff. But they're moving because they know something. And ladies and gentlemen, any time of quiet that you're now seeing where there has been rioting, remember this, they're being moved to the East Coast for a purpose. They intend to disrupt the election. I was told in a communique by someone that the communique said, you've got all the money you need, burn it down before the election. I don't know if that is just New York. My guess is it's going to be a concerted effort to cause the president maximum stress, to try and show that the country's out of hand. By the way, it's not out of hand under his leadership. Good night. The international bankers, Jesus said, the love of money is the root of all evil. I just added a little bit on, not to the word of God, but said, and the control of money is the control of all evil. The bankers are on record saying they make more in one day of war than a year of peace. Hello? Weapons is the largest business on the planet, maybe only exceeded by pedophilia and child trafficking. That is so heartbreaking. See, Daniel, here's the thing. Do people who hate because they say God's judging America, it's going to get much worse, ladies and gentlemen, much worse. That's what I'll be talking about tomorrow. And some of the stuff literally made me sick. I had to go up and take this stuff called Immunex for my stomach. I wanted to vomit because of all the stuff the Lord has shown me, all the stuff God's showing other people. This isn't about me, but it's about where we're at in time. And Daniel, you alluded to it, and Doug, you've said it openly, that, look, we don't know that this isn't the final warning. I'm living under the instruction, unless I change or God says, nope, you got to do one more thing, that, Lord, final means final. Final means final. Because I can't tell you everything that's going to be in motion, but I can tell you this, concurrent with and immediately after, things are going to get so bad, you're going to have mass starvation in this country. Mm. You're going to have mass migration in this country from where you can even get a drink of water. It's not going to be, you know, again, the wimpy thing on Captain Kangaroo, Tom Terrific. I'd rather pay you Friday, or I'd be glad to pay you Friday for a hamburger today. Well, ladies and gentlemen, enjoy your hamburgers today because the plans they have for us, those don't exist in the future. You don't think Soylent Green with Charlton Heston and Edward G. Robinson wasn't prophetic? You don't think that? Then you don't understand that whole hunger that's been stored up in the giants that'll be released, that the Septuagint, Isaiah 13:3 talks about, giants are coming, behold, I send them to fulfill my wrath, saith the Lord. That's in the Septuagint. The oldest Greek Testament, the Greek oldest known New Testament in the world. I guess that's the right way to say it. So, Doug, here's where we're at today. It is, again, it's the 1st of October. So much now in the next 30 days will change the course of history for all of us. None of us are going to go untouched. None of us. Imagine, ladies and gentlemen, imagine. If we get shut down for a vaccination again, and or even starvation, imagine they start telling you the truth of how little food there is, and then they enforce it and put such strict restrictions on you that you have no choice anymore. I think I said the other day, Doug, maybe three shows ago with you or something, I said the day will come when the word selection will not be in use again, or it will never be used again.
That's right.
Because selection implies a choice. These demons, devils, bureaucrats, Democrats, Republicans, and I mean that Republicans, Republic cowards, all of the people that are working behind the scenes to bring us into the New World Order. This is something people have got to understand. New World Order. You don't get the New World Order until you do away with the Old World Order. And Daniel, back to the book, because again, midnight strikes, midnight strikes, midnight has struck.
Well, you know, again, so many things that we talked about in Midnight Strikes and that were in those pages are coming to life right before our eyes, not in a good way. One of the things, and I alluded to this just a second ago with the riots that were going on in New York as well as other places in the United States. On page 84, Steve, we talked about actually specifically, I'm sorry, not page 84, page 81, we talked about how there would be, this is what the Lord showed you, that there would be a complete trucking halt in the United States. Again, one of those statements that I didn't take Steve at face value for. I dug into the facts, and although Steve was told that 40 some odd years ago, what I found was that, and this again, Midnight Strikes took a year to write. It came out March 1st. And even back last year, we saw a strain on the shipping industry and the trucking industry that most people in the world, or in the, at least in the country, were unaware of. So what we see is now, come, you know, 6 or 7 months later, you have this weight upon the trucking industry, in addition to the fact that for those cities that have wanted to disband their police, Steve, trucks will not go into those places. They won't even ship into those places. What happens? You're talking about food shortages. We've talked about riots. You've talked about water shortages. What happens when everything stops into those places and people can't eat? What do people do?
Well, they'll hit the streets, they'll riot, and they'll form a term I used years and years ago, actually 25 years ago. We are going into a time of techno-feudalism, okay? Mad Max with an iPad. Mad Max with, his social distance warriors called together as long as the internet stays up. And Doug, this is again, is it fair to say, and all the stuff you guys are in doing, whether it's you and Russ and Craig Sawyer and all the stuff you guys are working on in that whole child trafficking occult situation, that the level of brutality and wickedness is going off the charts? Is that a fair statement?
Oh, yeah. It's hard to overstate what's taking place right now. So, yes, that's a fair statement.
Well, again, ladies and gentlemen, it's one thing to hear it on the net. And let me ask you this, and this is a question for me too. Are you prepared, am I prepared, for the day that, Bongo Congoville, that's what I'm now calling the internet, Bongo Congoville, is, not Margaritaville, Bongo Congoville. I call it BS and bubble bath. You know, and the thing is that are you prepared? And I'll be blunt with you. I'm not. I'm asking the Lord to help me get prepared for a complete data shutdown, a complete world event shut out. A, not being able to talk to B not being able to talk to A or C, and a complete communication failure.
No, we painted ourselves into this corner, Steve. And I think Daniel, you'll agree, where we've limited our options. I mean, let me put it this way. How many out there listening right now, and I'm just going to pose a question, how many listening or viewing right now still have a landline telephone at their house? You know, so the cell service goes out. Look, landlines, internet goes out. That data transfer goes out. I get all that. But we painted ourselves into a corner by advancing to the point where we're at without having plan B and plan C. So yes.
Right.
Go ahead.
Well, it's even worse than that, Doug, because, if you have a landline at home, chances are it's a VOIP line, voice over internet protocol, meaning that it uses the internet.
That's true.
So when the internet goes down, you're still done. There's no way out. As far as a hard landline, those are very few and far between. Heck, Steve, you can't even find a telephone box anymore. I mean, that technology has advanced so much that, people are so dependent on it now that they're not, even aware of how much of a trap this is. And one of the things, in fact, the very first chapter of Midnight Strikes that I talked about was this web that we actually weaved around ourselves with the internet. And it talks about how, and I reference a couple prophecies about how this web that we thought was shiny and new and was so beneficial to mankind becomes our own undoing. And I talked about, various technologies that are actually in place that are entrapping us. So this actually leads me to a very good point here that I think we need to make. When we talk about the final conflict after October 16th, that how things may accelerate out of control, spiral out of control, we are not saying that it is the end. Right? That's not what we're saying, guys, Steve and Doug. That's not what's going on here. What we are saying is our ability to communicate with you and other people's ability to communicate with you. God's people who have been called to, as watchmen to declare these things to the people will be silenced because the technology, as Doug said, that we've painted ourselves in the corner with will be shut down and our voice will be taken away. That is why Final Conflict, Brace for Impact is so important because we all can see the writing on the wall. You see how the powers that be, and yes, those ambiguous powers that be, are already lining up the various kill switches in order to silence dissent. When Steve, just yesterday, the day before, the whole 911 network went down and it was hacked. People were stunned. How could such a thing happen? But it wasn't just that. You had an alert on your website that talked about how all the switches were taken over and they chose just to turn off the 911 system. But in fact, I think they probably could have turned off a lot more than that if they wanted to. What you see is various, other hackings taking place, nuclear fuels sites, nuclear plants, power industry. There is this testing of a kill switch. And on the social side, you see YouTube silencing Christians. You see Facebook editing out various information or truths. You see all of this stuff happening. Folks, when we talk about final warning in October 16th and 17th, it's not because it's the end. This is what we need to understand. There are people that are sitting out there and going, well, these guys are just fanatical. They're making, mountains out of molehills. Yes, we have issues, but it's not the end. People have been saying it's the end forever. Well, audience, when Noah was actually building the ark, there were people that were actually saying the very same things. It's never rained. What is he doing? He's a crazy old guy. And it took, I think, 120 years to build the ark. So we have the very same mentality now, Steve. You're not saying that it's the end. What you're saying, it could very well be. And you're not saying even this. You're not saying it will be. You're saying it could be the end of us being able to communicate these truths to you. Isn't that right?
That's true. And that's why I asked all the speakers, Daniel, and you were given the same request, okay, is to what would you say? And if this, you knew this was the last time to address the people. I've never talked about the end of the world. I've talked about the end of the age. Others equate end of the world with end of the age. I don't. I make it very clear. I'm talking about the period that basically Satan rules on planet Earth for 3.5 years, not 7. God doesn't give the devil twice what he allowed Jesus to have in his earthly ministry. And, then the Battle of Armageddon, the real Battle of Armageddon takes place. And that's against God and his holy angels and the devil and his fallen angels and the cohorts of the devil on earth. They really think, you guys, they've been deceived to an extent that Satan has told them, stick with me. I'm going to make sure you never die. I'm going to make sure you have pleasure that you can't even imagine. Why? Because I'm the guy that invented it all. I'm the guy that invented. I'm talking about the devil. He claims what he's invented in every form of perversion, sexual and otherwise. And people are buying it because at that core, Daniel, they know. they may not know or accept, but they sure don't want to take a chance that they die and go to hell, because most people don't even believe they go to hell. But it's interesting, isn't it? They want to live forever. And for people that say, God's not going to judge America, are you kidding me? I'm on record as saying when the NF hell, and I think this is, 2 years ago, Doug, on your show, I said when the NF hell started warring against the Christians and the teams, and I said, God will stop them in their tracks. Has the NF hell, do they have auditoriums filled with people? No. And I was thinking about this too, Daniel and Doug. Gideon had an army, but none of the Gideon's army could be the people that bowed their knee and basically lapped water like a dog. Mm-hmm. Or lapped political correctness like a dog. Mm-hmm. God's using that to test even the Christians who claim to be his followers. Do you guys understand how powerful that statement is? It's in the Word of God. It's not me. I mean, there's a reason God quickened that to me. When the world plays with the whores, and I'm talking about the whore religion now, when Samson shacked up with Delilah, and she knew how to, I won't make this sultry, but she knew how to make get Samson's attention. The same thing that is happening to the worldly church, we've been seduced. Hmm. We've been seduced. And ladies and gentlemen, God allowed Samson through repentance to take vengeance on those who put out his eyes and tormented him. And unfortunately, ladies and gentlemen, as Jonathan Kahn broke the vessel, I may have said Jeremiah, I meant Jeremiah, I said Jeremiah 18, I think it's Jeremiah 10. That's a big deal because God's a potter and we're the clay. What he's saying, I'm going to smash the nation. Oh, I don't believe that my God's a God of love.
That's right. That's right.
You know, I said, oh, come on. That's his basically denial. Well, you hurt my feelings. Good. Maybe I can get you to heaven. We don't live on feelings. We live by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Listen, it's too late. I'm not pulling punches. I feel like I have repented. I said, Lord, I feel like I was trying to, you know, not be forthful enough. And some people said, man, you never weren't forthful. But in my own heart, and that's why I'm saying, Daniel, and that's why you're on today, and that's why, Doug, thank you for having this show, because we're in the countdown period, and the countdown period may be measured in days. And all of the background chatter from all the different intelligence sources and people that I get information from said, Steve, they're going for it. And I'm not making that up. The statement was made to Antifa behind the scenes, no matter how much it takes, burn the place down. That means the political system. That means Washington, D.C. We've already seen, ladies and gentlemen. And then when you look at Lori Lightfoot, you know, in Chicago, I maintain that if her eyes were any darker, and this has nothing to do with the color of her skin or the shape of her head, which interestingly enough, to me, there is something so abnormally wrong with her morphologically that all I can light, it's not being unkind, but there's something wrong with her. Do you not think any mayor in the right mind would worry about 50 people being killed in your city, including little innocent children? But the Democrats don't care about the lives of child. Thank you, Jesus. They're selling them on the open market. Hollywood's raping toddlers unto death. Unto death. That's not coming from SQ. That's not coming from some, by the way, I'm SQ, I'm not Q. I'm the real Q, they're not. The bottom line is that's coming from Blake Lively, an actress. There's going to be a turning, ladies and gentlemen. God's going to judge too. And those who basically aren't scheduled for destruction, God will pull them out of Hollywood. A lot of people have already left. But remember this. Hollywood is now the strongest proponent and has been for abortion. The satanic ritual abuse in Hollywood's off the charts. The closing of theaters is by the hand of Almighty God. The shutting down of Hollywood is by the hand of Almighty God. And when God says enough, and this I know one thing about the character of God, when he says enough is enough, it's enough. His hand is upon the land. He's holy. He's faithful. Even King David said, Lord, in your judgment, remember mercy. I pray for every Christian on the West Coast. God, lead them out. Send your angels. I literally pray this. Send your angels to the people who are in harm's way. Do you guys realize what's going on today? And today, I'm sorry, is October 1st, 2020 in California again. Do you understand that the earthquakes now are swarming south of the Salton Sea, 3,000 feet below the surface? That means it's risen. The amount of quakes. By the way, it's not the San Andreas.
I was actually just going to get to all this.
Okay. Well, I'll shut up.
Anyway, no, I don't want to shut up. But,
there, Daniel. We talk about it.
We did talk about it, and this is really, really important on it. It's because, again, these things that Steve and I discussed in Midnight Strikes, they're just not there to tickle your ears. It's not there to give you itchy ears. They are there as a warning. But before we get to the earthquake, Steve, one of the things that we talked about, we started this discussion on page 189. We began to talk about the red flag laws that were coming to the United States. You just got done talking about how the United States is under judgment. I've echoed that. Doug has said the same thing as well, and as well as other people. But yet we refuse to believe this. We are the land of the free, the home of the brave, right? What we are seeing is a concerted effort to clamp down on our personal liberties through COVID and other means. And what you were, even just today, there was, I think on your website, there was an article about how the red flag laws are being enforced now across the board. Is that right? There was,
and it's primarily aimed at veterans. You know what scares the wee-wee out of the pissants in Washington? And Gene, and those of you who know Gene Scott would know that was his term. But it's the fact that you have veterans who are trained in the military. And what they did, the left has been funding, putting gang members in the U.S. military, training them. They get out, and they're ready to rock and roll. Most, God bless each and every one of you veterans out there, but most veterans are basically, they've starved them so they could never have enough to be a practical, viable internal force, because the guys who are veterans took allegiance to the Constitution. The new military took allegiance to Obama in the 8 years that he was president. Huh. Isn't it funny that 200 people in the military and in the intelligence agencies, which, by the way, tried to overthrow Trump, which is an act of overt treason, but isn't it interesting that they went over so fast and so furiously unto the Democrats? Are you kidding me? These guys were in charge of national defense, and they're going with senility, and they're going with, quite candidly, the whole idea of overthrowing the constitutional republic. Only God can expose it. But I said, Lord, if you were to expose how many of the military were on the take, I'm talking millions. I'm not talking defense contractor kickbacks. I'm talking on foreign government agents that never registered. What would people see? How much money did the Russians give Hillary Clinton? How much money did the Russians give others? The whole uranium thing with the whole Bundy ranch. How much money's out there that is basically built on graft corruption and the once great United States of America? Love
you. You have said, Steve, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but it's important. No. You are on the record as saying that before this country was judged, that God would expose the leader's sins to the people. Are you not?
Yes, sir.
And is that not what's happening now? That is
absolutely. And then the people's sins before a holy God. Ladies and gentlemen, does it even register that Hollywood is a perpetual satanic sacrifice of the unborn, the blood? Why do they defend abortion, even post-birth abortion? They need to satisfy the bloodlust of their father, who is the devil. And amen. And I will stand by that, because even Satanists are saying, look, abortion to us is one of our sacraments. It's the same as your communion, Christian. And my answer as a Christian to those saying that is, hey, nobody dies to sacrifice blood to the living God. Jesus was God's ultimate sacrifice for the living God to justify his creation and redeem them. And that's why Jesus is called the second Adam. People say, well, you're of the seed of Adam and Eve. I said, no, I'm not. I'm of the seed of the second Adam. That's what Jesus is, the Son of Man, the second Adam. So, Daniel, here's the thing. You know, the midnight strikes, judgment unleashed, final warning, brace for impact. And I tell people, bracing for impact, when you're racing cars, here's the deal. You're strapped in. You know, five-point racing harnesses. You have a deal on your neck that's hooked up to your helmet, you know. I should put up my picture sometime. And, you know, the thing is that it's designed, the roll cage is designed to keep your arms in the netting when you're rolling, okay? And so they take all the precautions they can, but it still doesn't protect you from some of the unforeseen problems that exist. So Doug, as you are listening to this today, as you are watching the headlines, as you do every day, probably every hour until you crash, but what's your sense now?
What is my sense? Well, I think it's pretty consistent with the title of your book, Midnight Strikes. It's pretty consistent with the title of your conference. And, you know, people are asking, a lot of people ask, we're in a position right now where we're looking at, you know, Civil War 2.0 or another revolution of some type, but nonetheless violence regardless of what happens, what needs to be done, what can we do, what should we do? I think the answer is pretty simple in the practical sense, more than most people are willing to do. And I think if you think about that, that applies to both the practical, the physical, and the spiritual, because not too many people are willing to repent and not too many people are willing to fight in the manner it needs to be addressed.
That's why it's called the remnant. That's where we get this phrase, the remnant, right? What's a remnant, right? When you go to a fabric store, they might have a remnant, a piece of the original spool of fabric, right? There's only a piece of people, Doug, that have the intestinal fortitude, I'll say it like that, or the courage, right, to stand up for liberty, or the courage to stand up for Jesus, right? A remnant, a small portion. This is exactly how people can get to the great white throne judgment and Jesus say to them, depart from me because I never knew you, because it's only a remnant. The way of destruction is broad. Right.
So very much.
There are people that are just so sidetracked by the comforts of life, by their own desires and wants, by their own, their own rights, that we will not be that remnant either for the country or for the Lord. And that's a sad truth, Doug.
And one last comment on my part, I think. Listening to both of you speak and listening to the years that we've been on air and reading the book, okay, the book to me reads, again, I go back and I think, okay, this could serve as a historical account or a historical accounting of the shows that you've done. Both you, Steve Quayle, and you, Daniel Holdings, and others have done. Because now, if we were living in the time of Noah, it's raining, in my view. Rain has started. And again, that goes to the final warning, brace for impact. And yes, it's midnight, the metaphorical midnight. I think we've struck that. Just as that, hourglass of Steve's broke. In my view, that was a very significant moment in time. Pardon the pun. I think we're there right now. To you, Steve.
Well, you know, here's the thing: we're coming to the point where opinions won't matter because you won't have any place to express them. You're seeing the complete destruction of pretty much every liberty, freedom of speech, freedom of religion. Even now, Virginia is proposing a $100,000 fine, and God bless any lawyers that take that case on. We're seeing self-defense vilified, yet murder, if it's for the BLM purpose or Antifa, justified. Woe unto those who call evil good and good evil. That's what the scripture says. I think, Doug, what are we down to, the last 12 minutes?
We are at 12 minutes exactly right now. And by the way, October 1st, I just want to remind people, 3 years ago, and Steve and Daniel, 3 years ago, was Las Vegas shooting, 60 dead. 58, some say 60 is the official total. So think about that. Think about the last 3 years. What's gone on? But 3 years ago today was the Las Vegas shooting. Go ahead.
Take it, Daniel, because I want to again.
three years ago seems like forever ago. Honestly, Doug, given everything that's happened. And Steve, we use this phrase oftentimes when we talk about events that are going on, that they are accelerating. And even since Midnight Strikes came out March 1st, I've kept saying that it's mind-boggling to see the things that are coming to fruition. But that's not the only part of this. They have been accelerating, but they will accelerate even more. Folks, this is what we need to understand. The things that are progressing right now will speed up, and that should scare all of us. Because as judgment comes, it comes quickly. It's the Lord that said that if he didn't cut the days short, there would be no flesh left alive. So what you're seeing is this is acceleration, I believe, of judgment to spare some of us. Now, Steve, when we talk about the acceleration of judgment, we're running out of time, so we can't talk about all these issues. But on page 84, we talked about how a digital currency was coming to the United States. And lo and behold, with COVID-19, what we see is the Fed working on a digital currency. You see China working on a digital currency. That's gold back. You see the Europeans working on a digital currency. You see the Russians working on a digital currency. That digital currency will be tied to the mark of the beast. Folks, we are there. You will see a digital currency within the next few months. I promise you. And that's not prophetic. That is based upon what other people have said. Now, along with that, Steve, we talked about, and I'm quickly going through my notes here. We talked about on page 223 of Midnight Strikes, how the United States would be dominant no more, how we would be surrounded by our enemies, and our enemies would actually have more firepower and stronger militaries than we have. Steve, are we seeing that? Is that occurring right now?
Absolutely. You know, I remember talking and Hawk, who took over my full-time radio program 20 years ago, talking about, hello, Pentagon, China's a problem. Under Bill Clinton, the Loral Satellite Corporation, basically, Clinton gave to the Chinese. They didn't have to steal the technology, Doug and Daniel. He gave them the guidance systems necessary for intercontinental ballistic missiles. I interviewed Sam Cohen, one of the hallmark interviews of my entire radio career, the inventor of the neutron bomb, who said he was there when George Bush Sr. handed the neutron bomb plans over to the Chinese. It was a perfect weapon. It didn't kill infrastructure or anything or buildings, and it basically killed people. But that was our, if you will, our deterrent. We've seen President Putin come out with some of the most advanced weapons and weapon systems that exist. Even now, I don't know how to say this nicely. Even now, I'll make it really nice. There are people in the Pentagon going, oh, dear, we're really having to play catch up with the Chinese. Well, I mean, and the Russians. The Russians have perfected high energy physics. I remember when I used to always quote Vladimir Zhirinovsky 20 plus years ago on talk radio. He talked about the Russians' ellipton weapon. I talk as scientists. Look, you know, some guy said, I have no credibility. He's not the ones I talk to. He's a famous scientist. He said, listen, you know, don't contact me again, because he said, well, I have sources that are secret clearance. He doesn't even know that secret clearance, there's so many compartmentalized clearances, even beyond Q clearance. Somebody says, oh, he's got Q clearance. That just means you have access to nuclear weapons. When you get into majestic clearance, that's when things get interesting. When you get into compartmentalized intelligence that's specifically alien related, space command, when you get into the real world of that, it's far different. So here's the thing, Daniel. Real truth, empiric truth, is dangerous to the father of lies, Satan, and to the adherents of lies, his followers. Clinton gave the entire U.S. patent system to China. You can look it up on the internet. And in that, there were top secret patents. There are specific patents that the Defense Department classifies as, you know, different levels of importance. Mm-hmm. Just like when I brought out, and this is critical, you need to hear this. When I brought out chemtrails 24 years ago, whenever it was, 24, 23 years ago, I had quoted in weather wars and on natural disasters, I quoted defense secretaries, I quoted national security advisors, Zbigniew Brzezinski. I quoted these guys talking about weather warfare, weather modification. You were in the Air Force. I quoted weather as a force multiplier, 2025. You know, we own the weather. And people are going, gee, I don't know why the weather's so screwed up. Dane Wigginton does. He tells you geoengineering, geoengineeringwatch.org, but people don't care. Yeah. They'll care when they're hungry. They'll care when those they love are dead.
Well, that's coming very, very quickly, Steve.
Right. If this is fear porn, then what is the denial called? And I'll tell you what it is. It's an accessory to the mass murder of your fellow human beings. You shouldn't be listening to Doug Hagman. You certainly shouldn't be listening to me. And if I hurt your feelings, I'd rather hurt your feelings than those who want to cut your throat or want to take your head off. And oh, by the way, there's 250,000 guillotines in the country. In the country, there are certain talk show hosts that have the list. Why? Because obviously I want people to know what's going on. And even certain talk show hosts and very proud people, they can't believe it. My answer, and this doesn't apply to Doug, but my answer is you will. You will believe it. Go ahead, Daniel.
We will believe all of these things that people have been in denial about, because they will be interface and there will be no more denying them because they are a reality. And we're seeing those things, audience, occur now. That's why this discussion, the discussion in Midnight Strikes, the discussion at Final Conflict are so important. Just a couple more points that I wanted to bring out from Midnight Strikes. And because you actually alluded to this, Doug, and you too, Steve, on page 375, we talked about crustal upheaval. We outlined all of the ways around the Earth, how earthquakes were popping off like crazy. You just mentioned the swarm in California. Folks, that has geologists very, very nervous about the San Andreas Fault. What is occurring today in California has, well, I'm being nice, has them scared, fill in the blank, because that could very well trigger the San Andreas or something much worse like Cascadia. And the other thing, and it's the last point that I'll bring out of the book at the moment, and honestly, there's a ton more stuff in the book that we just haven't had time to go over. On page 391, we talked about and began to talk about this whole discussion about how asteroids, Steve, were going to begin to hit the Earth. And what are we seeing now? There's not a day that goes by practically where scientists have missed this asteroid, that this asteroid just did a near miss of the Earth. And what we are seeing is this increase, potential bombardment from outer space. Again, in Midnight Strikes, page 391. Here's the point, audience. All of those things and more are in Midnight Strikes. They are there for your benefit. They are there as a warning. It is imperative, Doug and Steve, that people understand the lateness of the hour. Final Conflict, Brace for Impact in October 16th and 17th is essential for us to know what's coming down. You cannot know how to deal with or survive those things in the very near future unless you know they're coming. If you are burying your head in the sand and you refuse to acknowledge the truth that is out there, what you will find is yourself and your family dead. Yes, that may sound harsh, but that is exactly what will happen. So, Steve, you know, with the last minute or so, I'll give it to you. The lateness of the hour is stunning, and people need to understand the seriousness of the things we're talking about.
Well, again, thank you, Doug, for letting Daniel and I come on. But final warning, brace for impact. Sign up for it, because tomorrow's VOD, when you sign up for video on demand, that also means you can go and watch it any time after the 16th and 17th of October. What it means is it plays in real time, and the schedule of who's speaking and what time they speak, etc. If you miss them there, you can't go back and back up until it's posted a couple days later on Vimeo. But those who buy Vimeo on demand, you can go and get video on demand, not Vimeo on demand. Video on demand, you can be get in on the last two private briefings. The next two private briefings are off the charts. When I say tonight again, Friday nights is going to be just beyond even what I envision. Even with all the evil I know, you cannot figure out or try and anticipate the next level of evil. There is a higher form of killing coming, a higher form of draconian shutdown, lockdown. And ladies and gentlemen, it's easy to say you won't take the vaccine, and I'm praying none of us do. I'm praying that. But ladies and gentlemen, force it on you at the expense of a gun barrel. Doug, thank you.
Thank you. And, yeah, we are out of time. Daniel Holdings, thank you very much. Steve, thank you. Websites for both will be up on HagmanReportLive.com in the program description box. Understand, when they come for you, you're going to be killed or you're going to have to kill, and they are coming for you. Have a good night, everyone.